give us a bit of background on the grants, and where does all this funding come from?
All of this funding comes from us, the people of Iowa. The Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs has an array of grants we distribute through the Iowa Arts Council and the State Historical Society. So it's taxpayer money, and we take it very seriously. We want to dole out that limited funding to projects that we think can really make a difference and really make an impact in lots of communities across the state. So each year, we usually aim for a May 1st grant application deadline, and then about July 1st, all of the volunteer review panels have made their decisions on various projects. Midsummer is the fun part. That's Christmas morning when we get to hand out a bunch of grants that we think will make a big difference in every corner of the state.
Why do these grants make a big difference? Why are they so important?
In the 21st century, people can choose to live in lots of different places to do the same work. You don't have to live in the big cities to work for a startup or a tech company. There are lots of reasons that people move. And with the internet, a lot of jobs can be done anywhere. Certainly, some jobs are tied to specific places. But what that means is that people, more and more, they choose to live where they want to live and then figure out how to work there. So it's up to Iowa communities to make themselves as attractive as possible to retain workers and attract new workers, but just also make communities fun and vibrant and lively places for everybody to live and work and play and all of that good stuff. So these specific grants support projects that really enrich communities in different ways, with specific art projects or historical redevelopment projects. There's no shortage of good ideas across the state. There is, of course, a shortage of money. I mean, money can only go so far. But we are proud to say that the Department of Cultural Affairs this summer handed out a little more than $2 million in grants for arts projects and history projects to 210 different grant projects. So we hope that that will make a big impact in lots of places.
Tell us about how you divide this up. It's sort of into two parts.
The Arts Council has a menu of grant programs for school grant projects or grants to individual artists or for cultural heritage projects. I think of them as flavors of grants or species. That's obviously not a technical term, but there are different grant programs that are designated for different projects. And those are all distributed via the Iowa Arts Council. And then through the State Historical Society, there are a number of grants for historical resource development and to fix up country schools. And also research grants for individual authors. So much of the work of history is done in archives and libraries and all of that, and we want to support historians who are doing the day-to-day work of digging up the stories from the past that we think should be carried on to the future.
So you said there were around 210 grants, but how many grants came in that you had to winnow through to get to these 210?
I don't have that number right at my fingertips, but these are highly competitive grants. As you can imagine, with statewide grant programs, there is a lot of demand for state funding. And we find that often a grant from the Department of Cultural Affairs sort of acts as a good housekeeping seal of approval, that sometimes this is starter money. And once it gets an initial stamp of approval from the Department of Cultural Affairs, that opens up new doors for other fundraising opportunities, for matching grants from local foundations or private donors, all kinds of things. But these are highly competitive grants, and I can tell you they are scrutinized by these volunteer panels who take a really rigorous approach. And the applications, they have to have all of their T's crossed and their I's dotted, and they have to be really innovative, practical projects that are doable and that will have actual results for Iowans across the state.
I'm guessing that some people may think, well, I bet all the grants go to Des Moines.
That is a good question. And we get that question every year from lawmakers when we trot up to the State House and make our case for why these matter. We certainly get those questions from lawmakers. But I can tell you, just looking at a map, the distribution is pretty good. And we feel good about the geographic distribution of the grants. Obviously, we can only distribute grants to places that turned in applications. So if there's a blank corner of the map, just in terms of grant distribution, we want to hear from people in that corner, and we would encourage them to apply next year.
So if you got a grant one year, It doesn't mean you'll necessarily get one the next year. But if you did have one, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't try again.
That's right. And we encourage people to keep trying. The Arts Council staff especially, they are really good at taking people through the process because we know that applying for grants can be intimidating. And I was going to say paperwork involved, but it's now all digital. So technically, there's no paperwork involved at all. It's a digital application process. And there are webinars to sort of coach people through the process. And you can always call our team of experts if you have questions about how to apply or how to fill in a particular blank. Plus, there is feedback. So if somebody applies for a grant and is denied one year, they get feedback so that maybe next year they can polish up their grant and tighten up a couple of the loose ends and then turn in a stronger application the following year.
So give us some examples of some of the grants that came out this year.
This year, there are some really, really great projects, and I always look forward to this part of the year because here's where we see which projects sort of emerge to the top of the stack. One of the things that I had not heard about, at the Figge Art Museum in Davenport, there's a project to use a robot named Genie to help cancer patients who are either homebound or hospital-bound take virtual tours of the art museum. So they have a remote control, and they can wheel the robot around the galleries in the museum with a docent, and they can ask questions of the docent. And the robot has a camera on it, so it can turn in various directions and face different pieces of artwork. So the person at home or in the hospital can take a virtual tour of the museum and ask questions of the docent and really get as good of an experience as they can of an art museum without actually being there. So I thought it was a cool project that just opens up all kinds of possibilities for folks who wouldn't otherwise be able to visit the museum. There's another cool project in Amana. They're offering communal dinners in the style of the dinners that Amana residents were used to before they disbanded the communal experiment in 1932. So from 1855 to 1932, the Amana colonies, the folks there lived communally. They ate all of their meals together and worked together in big kitchens to produce three meals a day. So now I think 24 guests can sign up for these meals, and the meals are guided by descendants of Amana residents who remember those days. So it's all homegrown food and it's prepared communally, and you get a big helping of history along with your meal, which I think will be a fun experience for a lot of Iowans. There are all kinds of historic redevelopment projects, but one of them that received some grant funding is the restoration of an 1896 clock at the top of the Clayton County Courthouse in Elkader. They've already done a lot of work on it, but to spiff up the clock face that has kept time for over 100 years in Elkader. But ideally, this restoration project will help that clock keep on ticking for another century. And some of the behind-the-scenes grants, some of them are relatively small amounts of money, $500 or $1,000 for school equipment. In Ringgold County, a music teacher successfully applied for a grant for a smart computer-equipped screen. So the students can learn from a high-tech music screen in that classroom. So the general public might not see that, but a new generation of students will have opportunities for better music education because of that grant. Some of the other grants go to programs that involve traveling performers, and it helps performing arts centers defray some of the costs of bringing in outside acts. Obviously, we want to support Iowa artists as much as we can, but we recognize that in some towns, it can be enormously beneficial to build a community event around a group that they wouldn't otherwise be able to bring into town. The one that I think of is in Orange City. They're bringing in a group, a female a cappella quintet from Zimbabwe. It's one of those things that Orange City isn't going to see a group from Zimbabwe all the time, but some of that money goes to some of the behind-the-scenes costs of bringing a group like that in.
So, Michael, give us an example of how these grants can really have a powerful effect on a community and artists and citizens of Iowa.
There's a woman named Rose Franson from Maquoketa. She's a painter. And several years ago, she applied for an Iowa Arts Council grant because she had an idea for a project where she wanted to paint portraits of her friends and neighbors in town. And so she set up makeshift studio in an empty storefront in Maquoketa and just opened it up. And anybody who wanted to sit down for an hour and have their portrait painted could. And I forget the total count, but she did more than 100 portraits of just the townspeople in Maquoketa. And that collection of portraits, it ended up traveling to the National Portrait Gallery in Washington, D.C., and now it's at the Figge Art Museum in Davenport. But that really was a turning point for Maquoketa, and that project had ripple effects all across the town and the county. They decided after that show was successfully exhibited there, they had enough momentum to start a community art center. And that sort of prompted a little bit more momentum in downtown. There was a fire there several years ago, and they've thought about bigger ways to rebuild and creative ways to rebuild that space. So now Maquoketa sort of lifted its head up a little higher, partly because they started to see what arts and culture could do for that community. So that one project continues to reverberate years after Rose Franson finished her last portrait. It still has effects on just the way the town sees itself and sort of their big picture thinking for the future. So we hope that other arts grant projects like that will have similar effects in different communities where they are catalysts for bigger growth. So people think, maybe we could do this, or maybe we should try this. So much of these grants really are about cross-pollinating good ideas. If something works in one town, it might work in another town, or it might spark another idea somewhere else. So we hope that these grants really help people think bigger about where they live and find ways to make the most of what they have and really expand their arts and culture opportunities on their corner of the map.
And definitely in Rose's case, recognize talent that actually came from Iowa in our own backyard.
That makes a difference too. The idea, if you're a kid growing up in Maquoketa, you may not think that being an artist is a viable option. If you want to be an artist, it used to be that you thought, well, I got to move to Chicago or New York, or I got to get out of here. But just seeing those examples of Iowans who are making it in creative careers can be a powerful inspiration. Just this summer, the Iowa Arts Council announced its new batch of 5 Iowa Artist Fellows. And these are individual artists at midpoints in their career are ready to step it up a notch. So each of these artists receives $10,000 and professional development training throughout the year. And then they go on tour across the state to exhibit their work and talk with local artists in various communities. This is the 5th year of the program, and there are 5 fellows each year. So now there's a batch of 25 artists fellows who are showing that you can make it in Iowa. If you're an artist, there is a network of support to help you figure out a way to make a real career, make a living doing what you love here in Iowa. And that applies for musicians or artists or filmmakers, photographers, writers. We've had all sorts of different creative folks pass through that Iowa Artist Fellowship program. And it's important for them, but it's also important for the rest of us just to see examples of people who are doing good creative work and making the ends meet here in Iowa. And I would just encourage everybody to think big and also, I guess, think small too, because sometimes smaller projects can have a big effect. If it's a community mural, or if it's your school needs more art supplies, or you sure wish you could have a little extra money to pay for a field trip to take 4th graders to a museum. There are all kinds of things that would be eligible for grants. And we encourage people to really take a look at the whole menu of grant options and circle in red marker May 1st. That's our annual grant deadline for the Iowa Arts Council grants. And a lot of the history grants fall on that May 1st deadline too. All of those details are at iowaculture.gov. But think about some of those ideas that have been on the back burner just because there hasn't been funding or you haven't been able to find funding. This might be an opportunity to move those ideas from the idea bucket into the reality bucket. So look around your neighborhood or your town and think about ways that you would like to improve it, because if arts and culture or history are involved, it's likely that there's a grant that could support that.
Is there anyone from the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs who goes out and helps communities brainstorm and give people ideas or help them think outside the box?
Two specific programs come to mind. The Department of Cultural Affairs oversees the Iowa Great Places program, which is a longer-term, big-picture program for communities to develop a big vision or a long-term plan that gathers public input to sort of define goals for the next 5 or 10 years. It's sort of a big-picture program. We also have staff on the Arts Council and the Historical Society and Produce Iowa, which encourages film and media production. If you go to the website and you pick any of those names, those folks are trained to help Iowans think about how to use arts and history and film and culture to develop their towns in lots of different ways and to figure out how to fund it, to move through the grant process in a way that there can be actual funds to support those ideas.
Thanks for today's look at Iowa's magnificent granting process goes to Iowa Public Radio's John Pemble, Chris Fenton, and Alexis Hahn, as well as Phil Moss. And also a big thank you today to the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs Communication Manager, Michael Moraine. And thanks so much for joining us today, Michael.
Thank you.